in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and to verse 36. Mark, chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. 'Tis these five words of the Lord Jesus I wish to make a few remarks on with God's help. Nothing is too late for God, nothing. Certainly the death, of course, was too late for sons of men. And there's a finality in death, isn't there? But while Jesus is present, my friends, nothing is too late, nothing too hard. Obviously, we not speak foolishly and presume that, yes, if we've died, we'll come back to life immediately and things like that, you see. But the Lord was there. They sent for him. Jairus, one of the rulers indeed of the synagogue, was evidently a believer and sent for Christ. Dear friends, in every worry and every woe, that's the safest thing you and I can do, is to go to Christ. And may we be able to say, like Job said, I know that thou canst do everything. And no thought can be withholden from thee. Or as Margin says, no thought of thine can be hindered. God will not be hindered by anything. He does as he pleases. But he's pleased to hear our poor prayers for his name's sake. Now one caution here, not an ungodly caution, but a scripture caution. We must pray according to his will. We read in John's general epistle, if we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know if he hear us, we have our petition that we desired of him. So in our askings for help and blessing and a way made and helps in providence and healings and all many things come into our lives, we so much need help, subject to his will. I remember a lady, I won't say any names, poor dear. She went the way of all the earth, but when she was in a home, you see, she kept saying, Oh, don't let me die, don't let me die, keep me alive, don't let me die. Whether anybody directed to Christ, I don't know. She didn't say it to me, but it was told me. And I thought, well, only the Lord can bless her. You know, that's what we're dying today. We won't want to, if we're really prepared, we won't want to live much longer, will we? Want to go home. And God can work that miracle in our hearts to save us. Be ready to go home, my friends. The death of believers is in the greatest sense a home call. To go to our eternal home. And we're often frightened of these things and troubled. You see, I'm so unfit, Lord, to go to heaven. Confess your unfitness and plead the merits of Jesus. May we tell the Lord our case and our cases, each one. And plead all that is finished and accomplished. Now the instruction here, and I read the other two chapters because the instruction there to believe. Chapter 9. All things are possible to him that believeth. Straight the man cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In chapter 11, we're told, aren't we, to ask in his name, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Let us, Lord, turn to that, to quote that more fully and correctly. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, remove into the... Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. This is not my word, it's the word of God. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. What did the Lord mean? Well, the mountain they're using is a figure of a heavy trial. That we may ask in his precious name, believing he's well able to do these things. Well able. Your worries and concerns today, your afflictions, your trials, your situation. How will you come through? How will I come through? We believe in the Lord, his sacred ability, his wondrous grace, his mighty power, his skill, his wisdom, his understanding, yes, his mighty hand, his faithfulness. All I need for time and eternity is in a precious Christ. All you need in this lower world, in this time state, and for eternity is in a precious Christ. We're exhorted to pray without ceasing, and particularly to ask in his name. John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You say, well, I've asked in his name, nothing's happened. My friends, I'm not here to criticise or to undo exercises. But what I mean is this, may we ask aright, according to God's will, believing you're a good God, he will fulfil his word. Lord, grant that thou bring me through and help me and fulfil thy promises to me that are sealed by his blood. We come to wonderful God. Dear friends, God is not to blame for our troubles. All our troubles stem from our rotten old selves. But he's a mighty Saviour. And he can uphold all things and does uphold all things by the word of his power, especially for his people. The wilderness journey through those 40 years through the Sinai Peninsula wasn't an easy pathway, was it? How they were cared for, looked after, provided, how they rebelled and kept rebelling and kept rebelling. But the people grew in number and grew in might. God's work went on among them. And in all our ups and downs and fiery trials, my friends, God's work goes on in your heart if you're a true believer to bring us to a blessed end. When Israel was going to captivity, that's Judea, of course, it was Judah, under Babylon's yoke for 70 years, he made a promise, the Lord made a promise through Ezekiel that he would bring them back after 70 years. And he says this to Israel of old, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give an expected end. He has thoughts of peace to the church he loves. He has to give them an expected end. So may we prove those all things working together for good. Romans 8. And we know that all things work together to good for them that fear God, them who hope in his mercy. But I must come back to the word, mustn't I? Well, I want to concentrate, my friends, on one or two thoughts. Be not afraid, only believe. So we have a high priest and a king in heaven who well understands our fears. Now, I said this morning. He well understands our woes, our fears, our troubles, our distresses. He reads our heart, you know. He doesn't despise. I said this morning, men may despise you. Oh, what are you worrying about that for? The Lord will never say that. But he says, fear not. Only look to me. Only trust in me. Only believe in me. Pray to me. Believe that I can do these things for you. As David says in Psalm 62, my soul wait there only upon God. My expectation is from him. Well, may Jesus be our end and our expectation as we pray to him to lead us safely along. Be not afraid. Dear friends, the Lord reigns. The enemy of souls is a restricted power. He's been bruised. He can't really destroy any believer. He can trouble them, harass them, tempt them, raise up enemies against them, but he can't destroy them. May we have to look up to Christ, let thine eyes look right on. Thine eyelids straight before thee, looking unto Jesus all through these things. You see, hasn't God's hand brought you safely thus far? Let's all pause and consider. I'm speaking to you who pray, who believe, who trust. Have you not been helped thus far, brought safely through? We read in Psalm 71, with great help to me some years ago, that which has shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and bring up again from the depths of the earth. And it goes on the next verse, increase my comfort, I think, and then comfort thee on every side. He can do all things for you. All things for you. There's something that says, increase thy greatness and comfort thee on every side. Now, we don't want greatness of person, do we? Greatness of fame and popularity. What I want is greatness of grace. That's what we want. Greatness of grace, my friends. I believe we have to go to heaven saying, Lord, I'm a miracle of grace. The work of grace is a miracle. He loves his enemies. They're alienated by nature from him, but he touches their heart. He softens their spirit. He brings them to his dear feet. We must hasten on. Be not afraid. Ah, my friends, there are many fear nots in the scriptures. This promise, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I'll help thee, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, and many others. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Be not afraid, Jesus reigns, Jesus lives. Only believe. Only believe. That's a sweet work of grace, isn't it? It really is. Only believe in him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, that's good. Believe also in me, his Son. All that his Son has done, all that his Son has finished, all that his Son has promised. Believe also in me, that lovely me that God has raised to his right hand. God is love to give him. And God is love to wound him with your transgressions and punish him for your sins. And God is love, my friends, to smite his dear shepherd who he loved, his beloved Son. Yes, and to receive this atoning sacrifice. He received sinners through Christ, and Jesus died a wonderful death. Terrible death, yes, of suffering, but wonderful victory. Sin put away forever and ever. Righteousness accomplished. My friends, death abolished. Justice done. And the believer is accounted just. Now, a just person is a person with any sinnership. We may be forgiven. I mean, the king or queen can grant a royal pardon. And a person may be pardoned. You may employ somebody who's a bit of a rogue, but they beg for mercy and help, and so you may pardon them, not prosecute them. But they're still a criminal. You see, the sin is still on their record. And our sinnership is on our record, except we're justified. Justification goes much further. I think it's a wonderful truth, this. When God justifies somebody, there's no criminal record anywhere, blotted out by his blood. Not just pardoned, but accounted just. They're seen and known and loved in the lovely life of the dear Lord Jesus. No spot or blemish in a precious Jesus. You know your sinnership. You feel the stains yourself. But in the sight of God, if God has justified you, my friend, and he justifies the ungodly which believe in Jesus. Oh, he sees us pure and holy in the righteous dear Son. will go to heaven in the Lord our righteousness. No black marks, no black crosses, no blots, no blemishes. But you are complete in him and will appear before him in his likeness. Oh, it's a wonderful truth, my friends. We read it, this was first, wasn't it, promised in Eden, of course, but particularly enlarged in the blessing of Abraham. He believed in the Lord and God accounted him for righteousness. Abraham was accounted to be righteous, though some of his sins are recorded there, denying his wife twice and trying to raise up seed in unbelief through the bondwoman. That was sin, of course, but no, in God's sight, complete, justified. And therefore, my friend, there's no bitter memories in heaven. Complete in him. And I must hasten. Yes, only believe. Only believe that my precious blood speaks for you in heaven as you come to him and plead him. How wonderful that blood is. It cleanses all sin. Every vain thought, imagination washed away forever. Cleansed by that blood and justified by the shedding of that blood. And you know the justification as you believe in that blood. Oh, do you believe in the precious blood of Jesus, my friend? Is it a wonderful thing to you? We read, don't we? Entered into heaven with his own blood. Now, many people speculate, say strange things about it. Is it real blood there? Friends, this is the point. This is the part that comforts us. God has seen that shed blood upon earth. He's entered in who shed that blood. And therefore, my dear friends, all included and washed in that precious blood, shall appear with him. God sees the blood from his holy courts. With his own blood he entered. That means it's peace-speaking blood that was shed here below as a witness. We mustn't think of the natural element anymore. We think of it spiritually. That blood, which was a natural element in Jesus, but it was holy blood because he was a holy person, a holy man. But it justifies the ungodly that trust and look to him and believe in him. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It speaks for all comers. All comers. And it cleanses from the deepest dyed sins of a sinnership. All washed away by the everlasting covenant. How, my friends, you see, in heaven they sang that song, didn't they? Washed and made right. Well, we read on that. These are they which came out of great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. And we can also add from another few verses later on, yes, and sing that new song. All glory to God. Well, that wonderful shedding of the precious blood of Jesus. Yes, be not afraid, only believe that blood speaks for all comers. And also, my friends, you think of that righteousness which God has wrought for us. He'll not look for any from you or anywhere else. Angels can't make us righteous. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't produce it. Righteousness is sinless perfection. It's required of God in our nature. And Jesus wrought it for us in a lovely, holy, spotless life. And therefore he justifies that person and clothes him with that righteousness that believes in him and trusts in him and comes to him. Yes, my friends, another thing. Only believe that Jesus can help you and no other. The only one that can help you. David came to places where only God could help him and deliver him and rescue him. And I think some of you know something about that in your life and your pathway. You've come to places where only the Lord can help you and the Lord rescue you. and bring us safely through. My friends, oh, do we believe this? Can I only believe that I'm a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? My friends, he'll honour all prayers that reverence Jesus and look to Jesus and trust in Jesus. Our utterances. I know what it's like, you know, my infirmities to being difficulties, and I pray on my knees and pray and start working it out in my mind. Well, that's not trusting, is it, my friend? Nature does that. You think that could happen, that could happen, that could happen. Yes, all sorts of things could happen, but that's not our deliverance. Our deliverance is casting all our care, all our concerns. Brother Rutherford's sayings from one of Rutherford's sayings, "Oh, bless the hand that guided, or bless the heart that prepared." God's guiding hand will bring us through. It's in his heart to bless his people and to love them and bring them safely home to glory. No one else can help us. Now, you know your life and your circumstances. I know mine and my circumstances. Who can we go to but Christ? Now, he hears and answers prayer. Dear friends, how many times the Lord heard your poor prayers and answered you wonderfully? Well, we have to say countless times, Lord. Even in childhood mischief. You may think I'm a bit of a hypocrite, but I used to say, "Lord, forgive me, though, help me in this matter." I know I wasn't converted properly then, but you see, I had some sense even in childhood. The Lord could help. Maybe there's one here who remembers their childhood. They knew they needed God. They still got up to childhood mischief. They weren't really converted to Christ then. But you see, the Lord still heard prayer, and that proved to me there's a blessed one in heaven. But how precious did that grace appear? I'm quoting from Newton. "The hour I first believe, unforgettable. When Christ is made really precious to your soul, you worship him, complete in him." Yes, my friends, and do we believe this, that he's laid help upon his beloved Son? We read, "I've laid help upon one that is mighty, exalted one chosen out of the people." You see, the one chosen to redeem us has lived here below in our this lower domain, this lower world. And so, you see, he faced all these same difficulties and problems that we have. I touched on that briefly this morning. He never sinned in any of it. But he endured all that he had to endure as a humble, real man. He knew tiredness, weariness, opposition. He knew what it was to be spat upon, despised and derided and opposed. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He needed sleep. He passed through many dangerous situations. Read more than once of the storm on the sea. Appeared to be two different instances there. Some put it together in one, others say they were separate instances, where they well could have been. You see, asleep in this ship. Weren't those disciples safe? Yes. But weren't they unbelieving, poor folks? Just like you and I. And they spoke rather rudely, I think, to him, really. "Master, cares not that we perish? What, your heavenly master not care for you, who loves you and chosen you to follow him?" Of course he cares, but you see, there were men, passionate men like you and I, like passions. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the wave and said, "Oh, you have little faith." When they have small faith in their trials. And we sometimes have small faith in our trials when we come to deep waters. But he's faithful that promised. Yes, my friends, and how he walked on the sea. And Peter said, if it be thou, then command me to walk on the sea. Peter, always bold and a bit presumptuous. And so he says, come. And Jesus, apart from Christ, the only man to have walked on the sea, you know. We don't know how many steps he took, but he took his eyes off Christ. Oh, the waves have started going down. Isn't that teaching for you and I? You size up the dimension of the trial. Solemn thought, I speak very carefully and tremblingly. These are solemn matters if you're informed of your last illness by the physician, the doctor. I'm afraid, Mr. So-and-so, you haven't got many months to live. Many dear saints have walked that pathway. Ah, my friends, may we be helped to look up to him. Look up to him. If we take our eyes off Christ in those situations, down we go, we sink. But it's looking to Jesus, isn't it? And think of him as God's great high priest in heaven for you. You have a real living priest in heaven. A priest would read us touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Though he had no infirmities, he knew the feeling of our infirmities. He, as I hinted just now, he passed through all those things that we pass through, yet without sin. Have a real friend who understands your case. Weep out your heart to him in your secrets. Tell him your sins and your follies and your hardness of heart and your mistakes. And trust him alone. You're not afraid, only believe that I am your high priest. And what's more, I intercede for you. Your prayers are only heard through a priest. Yes, God's great high priest, Jesus. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face. Give him, my soul, thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father's grace, your heavenly Father's grace, given to you in his dear Son. Oh, my friends, his intercession, a wonderful truth. You go to a court of law, not that I know much about these things, but I'm not learned in these things. But the point is, a barrister may do his best to plead the case of an advocate for somebody. And that person may be a complete crook. And he does his best advocacy, pleading that they should be lenient with him and so on. But the judge has to give a sentence proper to the case. And the poor man may have to go to prison or something like that. We don't know. It varies. But friends, we deserve eternal death. I know by my sins I deserve the lowest hell. But there's an advocate in heaven with the Father, Jesus Christ the Right. He never loses a case. He says, this is mine. I've died for him. My blood speaks for him. He pleads, yes, on your behalf. Being a son and a daughter, he'll ever own you and ever bless you and ever save you and ever bring you safely through your life here below. What an advocate we have in heaven, my friends. He wins every case, the worst of cases. He won the case of the dying thief, didn't he? Violent man that he was, wicked man that he was. But he made forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but friends, yes, think of his pathetic prayer. He'd been mocking Christ, mocking him with his fellow companion, wicked man, deserving the wrath of God. But a secret change came in his heart. He suddenly realized he was mocking the Messiah. He's the Messiah. His faith came, didn't it? Gift of God. Faith came. So he reproved his friend and he said, lovely prayer, Lord, remember me when I comes into thy kingdom. Today should be in paradise, with me in paradise. He didn't say, now you go and you'll be better for the next 10 minutes and I'll save you. That's not salvation. It's a free pardon, free grace blessing. A sense of love and mercy that comes from the lips of Almighty God in and through his dear Son, whispered in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He freely pardons. Yes, the vilest sinner out of hell. Phyllis to Phyllis, Neelie's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, my friends, what a wonderful high priest he is, and think of him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His Royal Majesty. When I touch upon these thoughts, sometimes I say, well, earthly kings in wisdom get the cream of the land about them. That's the best thing to do, isn't it? To give them right wise counsel and so on. Be foolish to do anything else, wouldn't it? But Jesus doesn't need any counsel. Being King of Kings, he brings in the beggars and the ordinary people, the poor, the lowly, the sinful, the weak, the helpless. Yes, to worship him. Heaven is a place of worship. I know, of course, I remember going to council meetings as a hearer, as a lad who took an interest in politics, which was very foolish, really. And I always announced the mayor received his worship, the mayor, and the mayor came in, and there was a silence, and he was given sort of certain reverence, and he took his seat at the top of the council table. And I thought, worship the mayor. His worship the mayor. Well, it seems a bit strange to me. Well, you know, there's only one who can really worship the King in his beauty. And one day you'll worship. You that worship him now, you know, you'll worship him forever. And what is worship? Friends, delighting in reverencing him and giving all the homage and the glory due to his glorious name and person. Does your soul delight in that sometimes? Do you long to praise him? Can you say with Gadsby, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, all his will esteem. That worthy Lamb, all their crowning with praises. Yes, I know we think of the saints as being crowned, but I believe they'll cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. They'll give him the glory they got there. Unto him that loved us and washed me for all my sins, the honour, glory, power, dominion, and grace and praise forevermore. He'll bring his people home that begin to love him here. If Christ is precious to you, my friend, you begin to love him, don't you? You can't love him properly. You can't love him fully like you want to. I'll tell you why. Because it's infirmed of the flesh. We've still got divided hearts. But as the grace reigns, so you'll begin to love him and to delight in him. But in glory, there's no infirmities of flesh. Oh, you'll deliver from this old man of sin forever and ever. Be gone. So I said just now, the best day of a believer is the day of his death, which is contrary to nature, isn't it? But it is, you know. Oh, yes, that your blood-washed soul will enter, and there you'll see him forever and ever. Be among that sacred throng. Now, friends, it's a number no man can number. All nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues. And because it's outside of time, there's no distance. They shall all see him. I think you think of Moses wearing the pillar in the wilderness, the summit of brass, you see. He had to raise it high. They all could see it and know that it glinted in the desert sunshine, as it were. So they could all just catch a glimpse of it at a distance. In glory, they're around his throne in equal love. And there's no distance. He's there. There with him. There'd be such a vast company of redeemed sons of men and angels also. Oh, we don't understand this, can we? There won't be interviews with Jesus, like you have to go into see a company director or some prince somewhere and just get an interview. They gaze upon him, they love him, they worship him, they crown him. And we don't know the communion there, do we, really? The songs of praise, the unity of the Spirit there. Here below we feel a unity to dear saints that believe in the Lord. There's a limited unity though, isn't it? The object is Christ. And that unity can sometimes get a bit frayed when we're ill manners to each other and perhaps be unkind to each other. We get frayed in these. Nothing like that in heaven. Utter glorious perfection of unity of spirit as they crown him Lord of all. We read of sitting at the table. Oh, fruits new and old. These are wonderful truths. They're natural things that people use to describe something that is heavenly and beyond our understanding. But it means something to faith, doesn't it? You believe, you think, Lord, how wonderful it will be to get there. Oh, let me get there, Lord. Bring me there. Though I've seen the chief of sinners here below, yet bring me there safely. McShane had a saying, Mary McShane, to love him with an unsinning heart. Believer, you have a sinning heart, but you love him. When you get to glory, and you're loving an unsinning heart, your whole being will love him. Your whole being will be filled with worship, adoration and praise, but it's gone quarter past, I think we must start closing. Well, my friends, be not afraid in your present things. I'm preaching to myself. Got a few things I'm worrying about at the present time. Private to me. We can't help it. Only believe, casting all your care and troubles upon one so good, so gracious, so tender, so merciful, who is love, for God is love. Well, I must close. Well, be not afraid. It's God's word, not mine. It's the word of Jesus. Be not afraid. Only believe and keep believing. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless thy own word of truth and grace. Forgive all mistakes made, anything spoken wrongly of thy lovely self and the truth of thee. But do follow with thy blessing, Lord. May a few things remain with us as we journey home to think upon thy name. For everlasting light, may all be able to arrive home safely. Some of us may have longer journeys than others. And think of the friends maybe don't really know, but travelling perhaps to the Midlands. And ourselves going home, be with us all, we pray, and grant us sleep and a good night's rest. It be according to thy good will, thou spare us to meet again. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.